Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
Now that's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems. The biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need. How prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
This is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the broadcast. This is Jim Paris with you. Live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, we get together, we talk about money, we talk about politics, we talk about things that are happening in the news, and tonight we've got a really, really interesting program lined up for you. My guest is Bob Borzata, and the name of his book is Neighbors from Hell, and I'm excited to hear some of your stories tonight. So if you're listening and you have a problem neighbor story, I will give you the phone number here in just a couple of moments so that you can call in and share your story, maybe get some advice at the same time. A little bit of a sad week for me this week. Many of you know, at least those of you who have read my book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, you know that sort of my second family is the big band that I play with in Daytona Beach. I play the trumpet with a big band. And these are some really neat guys that I've gotten to know over the years, and they come from all walks of life. I mean, we have a retired naval admiral in the group. We have doctors, dentists. I mean, it just ranges A to Z. And we had a gentleman, in every year in this group, because they're mostly retired men, although we do have one saxophone player that's a female, but because this is mostly retirees that play in this group, I think one of the youngest in the group, typically, on any given Thursday night when we rehearse. And this last week, our bass player, Mike, who is only 54 years old, passed away. Tragic car accident. He was involved with the racing industry and was in an accident at the Daytona International Speedway and lost his life in just a shocker because, you know, he's only 54 years old. And in this band that I play in, we do lose a member or two every year, but these are typically men in their 70s and their 80s. And we're sorry to see them go, but it doesn't come as a shock like it does losing one of our band members who is only 54. So other than that, interesting week for me. My wife and I, we didn't go out sailing this weekend. Just buckets and buckets of rain here in Palm Coast where we live. Palm Coast, Florida. I did have a very disturbing experience. Many of you know that I went to Chicago. It was a month ago now that we've been back from Chicago, and I went there for my 30-year high school reunion. We also taught a big workshop up there. I also did some media appearances, and I was really upset because on Friday, I saw a charge of about $30 to my credit card from Hertz Rent-A-Car. And I looked at it and I thought, you know, how could I owe them $30 more a month later? And I'm really upset about this, and I'm going to be writing a blog post about this, but this is just something, this is a warning for you when you're out renting a car. The new thing that they're doing is they put into the car an optional toll pass deal where instead of stopping to pay the tolls each time, you can activate this little box and it will automatically basically put the tolls on an account for you that you will pay at the end of your rental. And I did not realize this, obviously, you know, didn't read the fine print. In fact, when I got in the car, this little box, which is on the windshield, was already slid to the open position. I didn't even notice it, that it was open. So here I am getting out of Chicago O'Hare, and the first thing I do is I get on the tollway because I need to go to the southwest suburbs where I was staying, and I hit the first toll booth, and I took the money out of my pocket to pay the toll, and the lady told me, no, you're already billed. It's already billed to your toll pass. And I looked, and the thing was open, and I thought, well, I don't want this to continue to happen. So I looked up there, and I figured out how to close it. Well, would you believe it or not that the deal that Hertz has is if that toll pass deal is activated and even one toll is charged to your account, that they then charge you $5 a day additional for your rental, even on the days that you never used the toll pass account. And this can add up to be like $25 on your rental. That's what it says in writing. And I'm sure it was in my contract somewhere that I signed, but I'm just really hacked off about it. You know, extra $25. I could have used that to buy some groceries, maybe go out to dinner with my wife, a cheap dinner, but nonetheless, $25 in this economy is $25. So I'm going to write them a nasty letter about this. And I wish I was going back to Chicago in the near future because I would love to go into the Hertz rental area and walk around and look and check the windshields to see if they are deliberately setting these boxes in the open position to trap people like they trapped me. I mean, can you imagine how many, I mean, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, all of the cars just out of that one airport. If every rental had to pay an extra $5 a day because that box was slid by default to the open position, triggering that $5 a day charge up to $25 overall on your rental contract, imagine how much money they could make. And, you know, I thought I knew all the tricks when renting a car. You know, you always opt to return the car full of gas. You don't prepay for the gas. You don't opt for the additional insurance. You know, all that stuff. You know, you shop it out online, et cetera, et cetera. I thought I knew all the tricks, but I feel like I was scammed. I don't know if that's the right word to use, tricked maybe. Maybe those who rent cars more frequently than I do may have picked up on this. You know, I've seen these little boxes in the cars before, but I've never tinkered with them. I've never activated them. I always just paid my tolls out of pocket because I knew there would be some fee involved, never realizing it would be $25. Oh my goodness, you know, get charged a month later, $25. All right, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about neighbors from hell. And my guest is Bob Borzata, and I'm going to bring him on the program, and I'm going to start by telling Bob my own story of a neighbor from hell. And I'm also going to share with him a story here of a local resident in Flagler Beach that is now, he was just sentenced to prison for life over the mishandling of one of his neighborly disputes. And we'll get into all of this tonight. My guest is Bob Borzata, and give you a little bit of background on Bob. Bob is a network news and production consultant who has worked for over 10 years with police, political leaders, and those suffering with neighbor problems. His book, Neighbors from Hell, it's been on the bestsellers lists. And if you look at his website here, ABC News, 2020, CNN, Oprah Winfrey Network, NPR, USA Today. So this guy gets around. And we want to welcome you tonight to Jim Paris Live. Bob Borzata, good to have you with us.
Glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing fantastic, and I want to start by telling you about my own neighbor problem. mm-hmm. which is now it's now resolved. So that's the good news. We moved into the house that we live in now 3.5 years ago, and it was in a really nice section of Palm Coast. It was the second most expensive area of town. So I thought, hey, I'm getting a good deal. I bought a foreclosure from a bank, got a really good price, and I'm in a really good neighborhood. All the houses look nice. And about a month or two after we moved in, we started noticing problems with a house across the street from us, not directly across the street, but maybe at a 45-degree angle. And one thing led to the next. We heard gunshots one night coming from this house. I remember one day I was walking my dog, and someone came out of a vehicle in the driveway of this house, and they offered to sell me like $1,000 of construction equipment for $50. So, you know, nice. I knew there was something terrible happening with this house.
Yeah.
I found out from one of the neighbors in the neighborhood who had been here for years and years and kind of knew the story on the whole neighborhood. He said that this was a situation where a lady died of cancer about 45 years of age, left the house to her daughter debt-free, who was in her 20s. So this young lady basically turned this into a house of drug selling. They were fencing stolen property. It was really outrageous what was going on, and we could not get anyone in the community to do anything for us. We would call the police, and by the time they came out, that everything was gone, you know, whatever the situation was, had dispersed. And this lady, she wouldn't cut her grass sometimes for 6 months at a time. And, I mean, it was literally like a forest. And so what I ended up doing, Bob, was we formed a neighborhood watch group.
Uh-huh.
We got all the neighbors together, and then we went to the mayor. And we went to the mayor with a whole list of all of the stuff going on at this house. The mayor actually agreed to have a one-on-one meeting with me as the leader of the group and a couple of my lieutenants in the group. And at that point, knowing that there was about 150 residents that were upset about it, we were in the mayor's office. The mayor brought in the chief of police, and our problem went away overnight. It took about a year to... Yeah, it took about a year to get to that point.
Okay.
But once the mayor got involved, he invoked every ordinance known to God and man, including she was not taking care of her cat. They went after her for that. She had people living in there, too many people that were living in the house. And they just pulled out all the stops and went after her. And she ended up about a year ago now, she sold the house, has moved to the Carolinas somewhere. We have a wonderful new neighbor in this house. And, you know, I don't know that it would have all ended this well. In fact, from that house, they were committing robberies in our neighborhood. One of my other neighbors lost over $10,000 in a robbery that it was ended up being connected to this neighbor that was five doors down from them. But your thoughts on that situation and how we handled that, and was that the right way to go, to kind of use political muscle, if you will, to get all the neighbors together and go to the mayor?
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, I mean, for one thing, everything you did was completely legal. It was moral. It was ethical. You guys did nothing wrong. You guys did essentially what I'm trying to get people to do, which is when you have a true neighbor from hell, and this woman and her whole company of associates sound like they certainly fit the bill, then you go after them with every means you have within the law and within what I call social responsibility. I don't want other neighbors to be affected. I don't want good people to be harmed in this. You did things that were, you know, completely legal. And in fact, you involved the law. And because you had the proper amount of people, you know, you had 150 folks there from the neighborhood, you know, that definitely gets the attention of those in power. And authorities really like to see, okay, there's 150 people here. I'm going to hear from them. I'm going to say, what in the world is going on in this block or in this neighborhood? So everything that you guys did was excellent. It is just what I would prescribe in a situation like that. And you succeeded. And, you know, unfortunately, somewhere in the Carolinas, this woman is probably wreaking new havoc for a new bunch of people because you sent her away. And that's basically all we can do is send them away. And then, you know, the next bunch of people will have to listen to your radio show and buy my book, and they'll have a sense, okay, well, this is what you got to do. But
yeah, you'll probably notice a spike of sales in your book, like in North Carolina now, where she's at. So I don't know if you heard this, Bob. I don't know if you heard of this other story. This made national news right here in our town again, just over the bridge in a little area called Flagler Beach. A gentleman by the name of Paul Miller, 66-year-old Flagler Beach man, was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And this was all about barking dogs. So he is having a problem with his next-door neighbor over the neighbor's barking dogs. Apparently, the neighbor was younger, a little bit physically imposing, or at least that's what this guy's story is. So he brought a gun to this discussion about the loud dogs. And that ended up in him shooting and killing his neighbor over the barking dogs. And he's now serving the rest of his life in prison. And this was on national news. This is a very quiet little neighborhood. I drove by where this house was, and I was like, oh, my word, somebody was shot and killed at this in this little neighborhood here a couple blocks from the beach.
And over a barking dog. And believe me, I have dealt with barking dogs. They are a pain. I know it. But this is, Jim, I call this neighbors from hell syndrome, NFH syndrome, where a good person, and I don't know this guy, Jim, but, you know, for all we know, he has no criminal record. He's never done anything to hurt anyone. But he probably, over the years, tried to get the neighbor to stop, you know, with the barking and, you know, bring your dog in at 2 in the morning at least. Let me get some sleep. I don't know. I don't know the backstory. But I do see very often where these situations that start over, maybe it's a barking dog or it's leaf blowing or snow shoveling or kids, you know, bouncing the ball up against the side of your house. Stuff like that should never, never result in the loss of life. And yet I'm seeing it more and more. People are driven to this point, and I realize that there is so much anxiety involved, but one of the things that I try to do is get people to do the right thing. And what you guys did, you and your neighbors, you did the right thing. You kept above the law. This guy, unfortunately, I don't know him. I don't know, you know, if he's a great guy otherwise or what, but he broke the law and he shot someone, and now he's going to spend life in prison. And this is what these neighbor conflicts are getting to sometimes, and it's very sad, and it is so avoidable.
Are you finding that there is a greater amount of aggression today than there has been in the past? I've had this discussion with my children, who are all college age, and they say, oh, Dad, you know, you're just an old guy, and you're getting to be old now. You know, I'm almost 50, so I'm old, and I'm just sort of perceiving things the wrong way, according to them. But I don't know. You know, when I'm out just driving to the grocery store, people trying to run me off the road to get a little bit ahead of me. And, you know, this is happening in my life anyway more often than I've ever noticed it before. In fact, I'll share with you a quick anecdote. This was a couple of months ago. I shared this on the program. I went in the grocery store, and where I shop here in Palm Coast, Florida, it's mostly very old retired folks. Many times in the store, they're in their 70s or their 80s. And you have to be patient because they might be blocking the aisle where you are, and they might take 5 minutes to choose what can of tomatoes they're going to buy. And I live with that, and I'm okay with that because this is where I live, and these are usually the greatest generation kind of people. So I've always been really patient around them. So here I am one day. I bought my groceries, and I had my groceries in the cart. So I'm going out to my car, and next to my car was an empty space. So I decided I'd go ahead and pull the cart up next to my car on the side and just load my two or three bags of groceries into the passenger seat since I was by myself. So I'm loading the groceries into my car, and I hear a horn beeping. And I looked out of the corner of my eye, and there's a car trying to come into this slot that was open where I'm loading my groceries from, and this lady is just leaning on her horn. I mean, just and I'm just totally confused what's going on. So I quickly put the rest of my groceries in, close the door, push the cart. I don't even walk the cart. I push it across the parking lot, you know, so that this person can get into this space. So she gets out of her car. She's in her 70s. And I said to her, I said, excuse me, ma'am, was that you? Were you beeping at me? Did you not see I was loading my groceries? And she said to me, you were taking too long, she said to me. And I just, I was just in shock. And I said to her, well, you have a nice day now. And she said, don't you talk to me with that sarcasm. I have a schedule to keep today. And she was, I mean, she was ready to fight me, this lady, you know, in her 70s. And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness. And these are, you know, I'm thinking to myself, maybe I had some amount of patience, you know, coming back to me after how patient I've been, you know, with those kinds of folks at this grocery center. But at the same time, I don't remember that 10 years ago. I don't remember the people that you would say the greatest generation folks laying on their horn because you're not loading your groceries fast enough in your car. I don't remember people trying to cut me off the road here in our little town. Have you noticed just sort of a greater level of aggression in society?
Yeah, definitely. And it certainly lends itself to my favorite subject, which is neighbor disputes. But I think in general, it doesn't have to be about neighbors. It can be about road rage. It can be about people, you know, at the office. It can be people even within your own family. I'm finding that I don't know what it is. I think that we have lost something. We are, and it does really span the generations. We are no longer very tolerant of others around us, and that isn't a matter of racial, religious tolerance. It's just human tolerance. We don't want to be patient with anyone, and it's funny that you would mention that. As you were telling the story, I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be someone in his 20s or 30s, you know, some guy with a, you know, a goatee and, you know, big sunglasses. And he, you know,
he's prison, like, tattoos, wants to get out and fight me.
Yeah. Yeah, and it turns out to be a woman in her 70s. It's funny you wind up going, you know, with the 70-year-old lady because you're in Florida. I'm up in New Jersey, and I've always thought that, as you say, this is the greatest generation. Tom Brokaw wrote the book about them, and it really has always been in my mind the greatest generation. We don't make people the way we used to make them, and I'll rail on forever about people my own age and younger and slightly older, but I always thought, man, these 70-year-olds, you know, the 80-year-olds, they're really something else. Yeah, they're really something else. I have found so many nasty older folks lately, and I don't know what it is. Maybe they've just gotten to that point where they have dealt with so much crap from us young whippersnappers or something that they are infuriated themselves, and they have developed an opinion of us. They don't know us, and yet they've determined that, you know, in your case, you were going too slow, so you must be very lazy and you must be pretty worthless. And she's got a schedule and you're stopping her schedule. So I frankly don't know. I don't know why the older folks are doing it. I can certainly tell you a whole lot about the younger folks who are addicted to reality shows and how rude they are with other folks. But I am,
and you know,
seeing,
you know what's bizarre, Bob, about that story was, and I pointed this out to the lady, there were two other open spots just if she had turned left instead of right. So it was like at a slow point in the day. So it wasn't as if this was like the one treasured open good spot at all. And it was like almost like someone was like trying to pick a fight with me, and I wasn't very slow at all. I'm usually pretty tired of being at the grocery store, and I'm almost running to my car to get out of there because I want to get home and get rid of my groceries. But you just run across this more and more. My guest tonight is Bob Borzata, the name of the book, Neighbors from Hell. And we're going to take some calls tonight. So if you're listening and you'd like to join us with your own story, or get some advice. Maybe right now you're going through something with a neighbor. You want to get some advice on what you might be able to do. The toll-free number is 888-287-3316. That's 888-287-3316. I will also be taking questions by email. Of course, as we always do, the phone calls come first. The emails come second. So the email address is jim@christianmoney.com. jim@christianmoney.com. But if you want to join us with a phone call question, 888-287-3316. And while our producer Faith is lining up the phone calls, I want to ask you you know, what people should do. I've got your one website up here, and one of the things you say is keep a log of the incidents. And I did that with this problem person across the street, and that was
right.
very compelling with the mayor when I put that paper down and said,
sure
you know, on this date, gunshot, this date, you know, a fight with baseball bats in the driveway on this date. You know, that's hard to ignore, and I did that. Is that one of the most important things to do?
Yeah, it is. Not only because it really works with authorities, because authorities want to see, you know, what time did something happen? What was the date? Okay, well, this was a long time ago. Can you tell me details? Yes, I can, because I wrote them down. It means a lot to them, and it will mean a lot to other people as well, because you have actually taken the time to note this bizarre occurrence. And, you know, if it ever does go to court, and a lot of these things do, especially among upper middle class and wealthy folks, you know, they tend to just give the stuff to their lawyers to work out, then yes, a log is crucial. But it's also most important, I think, to you, because it almost becomes like a dear diary kind of thing. You get to express what is happening, and it actually does soothe your soul, I think, to, you know, sort of like let it out and let people know. And, of course, you know, I have my message board where people can do that too, but it's very valuable to people, I find, to write down what is happening, how it's affecting them, and the time, the date, whatever evidence you have. Very important for authorities and for your own sense of peace of mind.
And before we get to callers, one other thing, too, to mention about my experience, and you make a point of this here, in the book and also on your website, that law enforcement does not necessarily treat everybody equally. And we found in our own case that, you know, some of the law enforcement people that came out, they were like, well, you know, where are the dead bodies? Well, they weren't interested unless there was something that they considered
yep.
to be like a felony or something like that. And
sure.
you talk about in your book, too, where sometimes law enforcement will, you know, really enforce a noise ordinance on the wealthy part of town, but not in the poor part of town. That there's
yep.
sort of different standards based on where you live, and then different standards maybe even on which law enforcement officer that you deal with. You know, let's say that you have a couple of officers come out to a situation and they're sort of dismissive of it. You don't want to end up, you know, being taken away that night because you're arguing with them about how
right.
they're not handling it properly. What do you do? Do you call the supervisor? Do you just let that one go and make a note of it? How do you react to sort of that laissez-faire attitude on the part of the police, which does happen many times?
Oh, it happens so much. It's very frustrating to me. You know, I'm always just amazed when I hear that a police officer or a police leader really got involved, really got to look at the case and consider it important because he or she understood that these things tend to snowball out of control to the point where, okay, well, yeah, here you have it. Here's your felony. Thank you very much. Felony. Okay, good. Now you have something that the police will pay attention to. A lot of officers and police leaders who have seen this stuff over the years don't want to see it getting to that point. So they really are not dismissive. They actually do pay attention. Now, for those who are not paying attention, I would go to the next level up, which is, you know, it depends on where you live, but it tends to be a supervisor within the police department. It might be a sergeant or, you know, something like that, a higher rank. And you don't want to just call the police for someone to come out to you. I find it's best to go to them. Actually stop by your local police station, precinct house, you know, wherever it is, or sheriff. A lot of people who write to me only have a county sheriff that they're working with. Go there, speak with the top people or as far up the chain as you can get, and be reasonable and let them know that, look, this is really getting to be a bad situation. I understand that your officers, you know, they're dealing with other stuff, so they don't always have time for this kind of thing, but this is going to get really bad, so I hope maybe you can help me. And very often you find that when you go there, you're showing them that you're taking the time, you're taking this seriously, you are the good guy. Don't show up with a head full of steam, hey, your officers are a bunch of jerks. You have to be empathetic and realize that these folks are doing a job, they're dealing with all kinds of stuff. So when you show up, you do want to be very polite, very respectful. Remember, police and police organizations are paramilitary. They, you know, it's very much a respect-driven organization. So when you go in, always be very quiet, be organized, don't exaggerate, and just say, I need help. Will you help me?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we ended up having to do with our mayor, and it worked. And we're going to take some calls now. 888-287-3316. Are you in a neighborhood where you've got a problem neighbor? Is this driving down property values in your neighborhood? Would you like some advice on that? Give us a call and share your story, 888-287-3316. We start tonight with Joanne, who is listening in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Joanne, you're on Jim Paris Live. Say hello to Bob Borzata.
Hey, Joanne.
Hi, Bob. Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, good. I really love your show. There's been lots of interesting things about neighbors and made me think of one of mine. I have a neighbor that drives really fast all the time. You know, it's been, you know, we've tried everything. He even killed a dog a while ago.
Oh.
And, yeah. And then he's, you know, he continues speeding. And one of my neighbors tried to talk, tried to go and talk to him about it, but he, like, cursed them out. And then we've told the police, but they can't, like, actually, they said, you know, we'll keep an eye out, but we have to catch him actually speeding, obviously, in order to, you know, do anything about it.
Right.
And they're not going to put a 24-hour patrol on your street, Joanne. So what would you suggest that you do in a situation like that, Bob?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The first thing I would say is, well, how am I going to catch a speeder? I don't have a patrol car with lights and a siren, you know. Are you talking about it? And Joanne, maybe they did specify this more with you. Are they saying that you should get it on video camera, how fast he's going? What are they saying about catching?
They said they'll keep an eye out, but, you know, obviously, you know, they –
That's the old cop out.
We'll check your neighborhood, and then if it's like winning the lottery, if they happen to show up at the right time and in the right position where this guy doesn't see them before he gets a chance to slow down and they get their radar gun out. But on a videotape, Bob, wouldn't it be on a traffic situation? Doesn't a law enforcement officer actually have to witness the driving, or would the videotape be a good tool in this case?
Video is the premier tool in this and other neighbor disputes, and I'll tell you why. Joanne, even though you don't likely have a speed detecting radar gun of any sort, as I don't know too many people who do outside of police officers, you can still track very reasonably on a video camera, or maybe it's your iPad or something with the camera, you know, whatever device you have, shooting out at your front, you know, the road in front of your home, what the traffic is like. Normal traffic is moving at this pace, la, 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 and then this guy, okay? And as long as your camera is able to show what that guy, you know, was doing, maybe you can't track the precise speed, but you can show it to police, and they will, based on that, as long as you have this nice relationship with them where everything's positive and they know that you're the good guy and they want to help you, they're going to pay that guy a visit, and they're going to say, hey, you were speeding here. You want to talk to us about that? And they will press him. And if the police decide that you are the good guy and this guy is the bad guy, they will, and I think, Jim, you were talking about this at the beginning also, they will throw the book at someone. You know, in the average police pullover, they could write up like $1,000 worth of tickets against someone if they really want to. Oh, what is that fuzzy dice thing hanging from your mirror? Oh, that's just fuzzy dice. That's nothing. Oh, well, that's a $250 ticket. You can't have anything obstructing your view as you drive. So really, if the police are on your side and they're against the bad guy, they really can go after him. Now, yes, it's unfortunate, Joanne, that, you know, they're not willing to camp out there and get the guy in a speed trap. But that would be the best bet. Do you have cameras? Do you have something that you can set up?
We've already let her go. She was just listening on the radio at this point. But I think the cameras are a good idea. It is interesting, though, before our break here, it is interesting how people react when they're confronted. you know, if you were to go to someone's door, knock on the door, for example, our neighborhood watch, Mike, the gentleman that we work with our neighborhood watch here in Flagler County, he would say, don't go to the door, you know, let us handle it, because who knows what could happen if you go to the door. But, you know, it's interesting how many of these people, they tend to ratchet things up when you try to talk to them. And you would think, well, you know, look, if I'm very diplomatic and I'm very nice about it and say, hey, you may not realize how fast you're really driving. You've got a really nice, great car. It looks like you've got a great, fast car. But, hey, here's the problem. We've got small children and pets, and can you help us out? You know, you try to approach them in that sort of disarming way. And some of these folks, it makes matters worse. They do not react well to being questioned, even in a very nice way, do they, Bob?
No, not at all. In fact, they take it personally, whether it is about their beautiful car and how they drive it, or the beautiful DJ sounds that are coming from the backyard every Saturday and Sunday night, you know, when they have, you know, the microphone on and DJ-enhanced backyard barbecue, as I call it, or if it's about their barking dog. People get very easily offended. Well, how dare you tell me how to drive? How dare you tell me how to live in my home? And, you know, you can be as diplomatic as anyone, as Colin Powell, or as any great diplomat, and you will still find yourself on the receiving end of this kind of nonsense, where these folks have just decided they don't want to hear anything from you. You're going to hear from them, their noise, you're going to see them speeding up and down the street, you're going to smell their trash, all of that. But as soon as you say anything to them about it, doesn't matter how nice you are, they're going to come after you for it. And 9 times out of 10, I'm afraid, Jim, they retaliate, and big time.
Yeah, then that's the scary part, and we're going to talk more about that after our break. Bob, this is about a 4.5-minute break, so I'm going to put you on hold, and you can stretch your legs, get yourself a cup of coffee. We'll be back in 4.5 minutes with my guest, Bob Borzata. The name of the book is Neighbors from Hell. And we're opening up the phone lines tonight if you'd like to join us with a question or a comment or your own story, 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316. Or you can send your question in by email to jim@christianmoney.com, jim@christianmoney.com. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. Recently, I did an event in Chicago unveiling a brand new service called Christian Money Plus. It's been years in the making, and I'm super excited to let you know that it is now available. At the centerpiece of this new program is the ability for you to have unlimited access to me personally using the internet. You'll also receive my 12-page newsletter mailed to your home each and every month. Now, there are tons of other benefits, such as our suite of financial calculators, model portfolios, and much, much more. Right now, I'm offering several bonuses to our new subscribers. Some of these bonuses include a video on how to use the internet to raise money for your idea or project. This is money you will never have to pay back. There's also a second video on how to save money by dropping cable TV, and I also cover on this video how to get free home phone service for life. Yes, you can drop cable TV and still get hundreds of channels on your television set legally using the internet. All of that, including how to get the free home phone service for life, all of that on your second bonus video. Additional bonus reports include how to opt out of Obamacare, as I did, and save thousands by joining what's called Christian Medical Sharing. Another bonus report shows you step-by-step how to stop Google from spying on you. All of this information is available right now to subscribers of our brand new service, Christian Money Plus. I sure hope you'll consider joining us. All of the money that comes in every month from Christian Money Plus goes to further the mission of our website, ChristianMoney.com. Check it out today. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. Again, that's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. You can subscribe right now and access all of these bonus reports within a matter of just a few seconds. Check it out right now. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. Bankruptcy.com.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to pray for a financial miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems, the biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need, how prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues, how to pray for a financial miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com, how to pray for a financial miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. You know, about a year ago, I started getting concerned about the cost of our family's health insurance, literally costing us thousands and thousands of dollars each year, and the cost continued to go up and up and up. And I started doing some research into an alternative called Christian Medical Sharing. And I learned that through a special law, a special provision, Christians are able to opt out of Obamacare and actually get into this alternative to traditional health insurance called Christian Medical Sharing. I decided to go ahead and move into a plan like that, and I'm saving a lot of money. Now, if you'd like to find out more about it, get more of the details to find out if it's for you or not, I've written an article on it. In the article, I give you more details, including I actually mention the organization that I decided to go with. If you'd like to get all of the information on this and find out if it might be for you, check out this website, medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. That's medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. Okay, we are back. This is Jim Paris, Jim Paris Live. We get together every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern. And tonight my guest is Bob Borzata. The name of his book is Neighbors from Hell, and the title says it all. You can get that book, by the way, at Amazon. It's available on at your local bookstore as well. You can grab it on your Kindle device if you have a Kindle. They do have a Kindle version of it over there at Amazon. And he's with us for the balance of the hour, so if you've got a question, 888-287-3316, or your questions by email, jim@christianmoney.com. And before we go to our next question here, preview of this week, I'm working on right now an article about a new kind of website called Flash Sales. And these are special, incredible discounts. And today, just to test it out, I bought a pair of stereo headphones that would normally cost $100. I got them for $22 with free shipping. And I'm going to be writing an article this week about this, so look for that article to be posted on Tuesday night. It's really incredible the prices I found today. I found a Hewlett-Packard computer, brand new, with the monitor, with the keyboard, with the speakers, everything, for $160, brand new Hewlett-Packard computer. And these are like closeout websites. They're called Flash Sales, and we're going to have a lot more information on this posted at ChristianMoney.com on Tuesday night. The guest is Bob Borzata. The book is Neighbors from Hell. And, Bob, we've got an email question here, which I want to start with. Then I want to ask you about retaliation, which we were talking about a couple of minutes earlier. This person who's emailing says that they have a neighbor that has, in this one house, 10 people living in this house, and six dogs are in this house, and that they've gone to the city. And legally, in this community, there is no limit on the number of people or animals that can, you know, occupy a home. And they're describing, you know, the number of cars that are lining the streets and the noise. And just if you can't get help from, you know, the legal side of things in terms of, like, you know, the police, is this a case maybe where a civil lawsuit would have to step in and say, hey, you're robbing me of the right to enjoy my property, even though you're not violating any ordinances. Is that the way they go, or what are your thoughts on this?
Well, my thought is this. If you can afford a lawyer, you're probably not writing to you, Jim, or to me, Bob. That's the issue. It would be great if this person could afford to file a civil suit, because that is a great way to go if you have the money. If you don't, then and you have yourself living in a town where they have no ordinances against the number of people, which means there is no fire marshal in this town. And believe it or not, there are towns like that in the U.S., where there is no fire marshal who says, no, you cannot over-occupy because the place will become everyone's coffin if there's a fire. And if you have police who say, oh, no, you can park all the cars you want. And, you know, if there are no ordinances against barking dogs and noise and all the other things that come from these folks, that's when you have a variety of options. And I start by telling people, the M word, as I call it, yes, you can move, but if you don't want to, you know, if you own your house and maybe you're in a bad real estate economy right now where you live and it's not ideal to sell, run for office, because you will find in political power you are able to make change in your community. You can start to put the laws on the books where you live because no one else has thought to do it. So run for office. And, you know, maybe it'll take a year or two to get things to where you want them to be. But I can tell you from experience, some of these matters last 10 years before anything gets done. So if you're able to get something done in 2 or 3 years, more power to you.
Now, is there ever an occasion where you recommend sort of fighting fire with fire? Let me give you a scenario. Maybe you have a neighbor that is really loud and they're bothering you. And you find out that the time of day that they sleep, which maybe it's they go to sleep at 3 a.m., maybe you're going to decide to crank up your own music to sort of, you know, see if how they like it. Is that a way to go, or is that sort of a dangerous plan to do the one-upsmanship there?
Yes and yes. How's that for an answer? Yes, it is a way to go. Yes, it is a slippery slope. You don't want to become the neighbor from hell. You don't want to become that person's neighbor from hell necessarily, but I don't think you need to be a great neighbor to that person any longer. Well, the thing is, you don't want to become a neighbor from hell in your community to all the good folks who live around you. So are you going to blast music at 8 in the morning? Well, a lot of your good neighbors are probably already up, but they might not want to hear your music. And if it is music or a barking dog or something like that, the ideal thing, if you're going to retaliate because you don't have the law on your side, because you live in an area where you cannot get people to actually join with you to go to the politicians, you cannot get the authorities involved to join on your side, then yes, sometimes, I'll give you an example, Jim. I did have this lady next door to me who had a barking dog, and she would have him out at 2 in the morning barking. And like other productive, positive people, I tend to need to get up early in the morning so I can go to work and make money. And this lady did not. And in this case, what I did was, okay, I tend to get up at 5 or 6 in the morning, so I went over, knocked on her door at 5 or 6 in the morning. Well, I'm up. Why aren't you up? You know, I think that her theory was, I'm up at 2 in the morning. Why aren't you up? And that's why she'd have her dog outside barking. So I went and knocked, and didn't you know it, the police came to my house and said, well, you can't do that. And I said, but I've been calling you guys. I've been trying to get you to do something about this barking overnight. Oh, well, you know, we never heard it. You know, we drive by, we didn't hear it. And I said, well, that's because, you know, she'd bring him in after I called. And, you know, I mean, I understand where the police are coming from, but I had to send a message to this lady. Now, did I disturb other neighbors in the process? No. And that's what I mean by socially responsible. If you need to retaliate in a lawful way, there's nothing against the law about going over to your neighbor's house at 5 or 6 in the morning, knocking on the door, and then, you know, maybe you wait a minute or two, and then you just leave because you know that that person's asleep. And I heard the dog barking inside. So she got to wake up to her dog's barking the way I had at 2 in the morning just 4 hours before. Of course, she was planning to sleep until 11. Well, I'm so sorry, but I couldn't sleep overnight. Now you can't sleep until lunch.
Or maybe it's one, maybe this is a side business for you. You know those little devices where there's like the illusion of a barking dog when you knock on someone's door. Maybe there's a large version of that that you can rent out for people to put in their yards to sort of give people a taste of their own medicine. But
there you go.
All kidding aside, I Googled your name and I saw a video, a news video, and you were included in this. And there was some footage where someone had set up a security system, and there was footage of, I believe it was someone that, that had a dispute running with his lawn service or his pest control service, and these people were literally at war with this guy, and there were video clips of people like breaking the windows out of his car, all this sort of thing. Do you know what I'm talking about, that story?
Oh,
tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, that was 2020. Sometimes I'm with ABC News. And in fact, when Joanne called and she said she was from Minneapolis, I thought, well, wait a minute. I was just in Minneapolis with 2020. And I thought maybe she would be someone from that block because we did have some speeding cars. But in the case that you're referring to, Jim, this is a guy, he's a landscaper. He was doing everyone's lawn, but he turned out to not be such a great guy. So people on, you know, on the block were, you know, bit by bit just saying, you know what, no thanks, I'm going to do it myself or I'm going to have someone else do it. And his retaliation was to go around breaking people's windows when they didn't do business with him and throwing this, I don't know, some type of a grass-killing agent on their lawns so that it would kill the grass that he once cut and cared for. You know what I mean? Thank God this guy was not their babysitter. You know what I mean? I mean, the guy was nuts, and I believe that he has since been subjected to some serious investigation, and that investigation is going on further. I don't think that the case has gone to court yet, though.
Wow. And that, that's just one of your appearances on 2020. In our remaining couple of moments, you got a couple of other stories from your Hall of Fame that you want to share with us, you know, maybe maybe something recent that's been going on. Keep our interest here with a couple of stories from the archives,
yes,
from the X-Files,
well, you know,
if you will.
Yeah, the NFH files.
There you go.
This one is not very recent, but it's one that I always talk about because it's one of the most disturbing that I've dealt with. And in this case, no one got killed. And again, I'm seeing that a lot more where people are killing each other over stuff, you know, in the neighbor disputes. But in this case, a woman had dealt with neighbors who were noisy and harassing her for years. And they harassed her because she complained about the noise. These were total jerks. She was a fine lady. There was nothing wrong with her. She wasn't doing anything wrong. Finally, after years of her and me going back and forth and trying to get the law on her side, we just could not, in this town, we could not get her into that position where she was going to prevail. She decided to move. And I said, you know what? I understand. I believe, you know, we've done all we can. You're able to do it. Do it now. She did. What did these neighbors do? They followed her moving van to her new home because they wanted to know where she lived now so that they could try to get her new neighbors against her and continue the harassment. That is how bad some of these people are. When I say neighbors from hell, I don't mean, you know, like, oh, this one complains about the height of someone's rose hedge or something like that. I'm talking about true jerks. These are the neighbors from hell. These are the folks that have nothing better to do than to make your life miserable. And that's what these folks did. They exemplify everything that I rail against, everything that I fight against. And we did ultimately get them charged with harassment based on this.
Story. That's unreal that, okay, you've run her out of the neighborhood. That's not enough. You're going to follow her now to her new location. And we've got a couple more email questions here. But before we get to that, one of the interesting points you make in your book is, you know, the effect on property values. You know, you might have what would otherwise be a wonderful neighborhood, and you have that one person in that neighborhood who's got the old cars up on blocks and is not maintaining their yard and all of that.
Yep.
And that's all that it takes for all of the homes within, let's say, a 2 or 3 block radius to drop in value, maybe 15, 20, 30% because of that one person. Isn't that correct?
No, it's very correct. It can be even 50% in some cases, depending on the neighborhood.
Yeah, and that's really the tragedy is how that one person can have that kind of power over the rest of the neighbors, in not only just in terms of a nuisance, but also affecting their, you know, affecting their finances. Somebody's emailing here. This is a great question because I don't know if you saw this story recently here in Florida where three teenage boys literally almost beat a child to death on a school bus. Broke his arm, beat him literally to the, I mean, literally almost to death. They were sentenced to, I guess, a few months of supervision. That was the charge that they were given. And there's a lot of talk now about, you know, dealing with kids as adults, or do we deal with them as kids? And a lot of kids realize there's not much in terms of consequences they're going to face, and then their records get expunged at the age of 18. So here's an emailer saying that they're having problems with harassment from younger kids, they're saying young teens in their neighborhood, you know, everything from damage to their cars to ring and run at the front door, this sort of thing. And this has been going on for years, and they know who the kids are, but the police don't seem to have much of an interest because they're children and they're not adults that are doing these things.
Yep. Oh, I have many, many thoughts. I mean, from the beginning, you talk about that. I think it's the one that I saw a video of on one of the cable news networks.
Yes, sir.
And yes, I figured. And it is absolutely disgusting. I have a four-year-old son. And even before I did, I love kids, and I don't want to see kids being hurt, including by other kids. And when other kids are doing it, I don't care about them having been brought up wrong or anything like that. I say treat them like adults. If you assault someone, you assault someone. I don't care if you're 17. Oh, you're not 18 yet. Oh, okay. Well, then we're going to treat you like a little kid, and we're going to forget all of this in a year. And you know, I say 17, but even if they're 14, I want them charged as adults. That's my personal opinion. I know it doesn't have a whole lot to do with neighbor stuff. When it comes to these folks, these teens and young teens, older teens who are bothering these folks, ringing the bell, you know, it strikes police as being not a big deal, okay? Why are you calling us about this stuff? Kids have been doing this forever. Okay, yes, they have, but kids today are different, and many of them pose a lot more risk. And I don't know the story. I don't know everything about this person's situation, but in many cases, you can get police leadership. If you, there again, I say go and meet with the folks, meet with the police on their premises. Stop by, show that you're taking the time. You're not just sitting at home calling. They like to see when people come by and talk to them because they'll go in a room with you and they're going to hear you out and they're going to hear all that's going on. They're going to listen to it. And as long as you're being honest, as long as you're not exaggerating, as long as you're telling them what these folks are doing and how it constitutes harassment, property damage, et cetera. Now, again, I think that the thing that is perhaps holding in everyone's mind who's listening right now is that they were just ringing the bell. I guarantee that these kids are not just doing that because this is ringing the bell
and they're saying there's more than that. Gas siphoned from vehicles, the tires slashed, you know, it's serious
property
stuff.
Yes. So all the serious stuff. You know, if I were these folks, I would not go to the police and say, and they ring the bell and run, because that's immediately going to set off a signal inside the cop's brain saying, wait a minute, that's what I did when I was a little kid. Just talk about the siphoning, just talk about, I mean, talk about the theft, talk about the damage, talk about the real serious crap that they do. Don't focus on the little stuff. Cops don't want to hear it. They're not going to deal with it, and you're only going to undermine your own credibility when you focus on the little things. Focus on the big stuff and get them on camera.
Somebody's emailing me here about these wildlife cameras that you can get for like under $100, they're saying, where it's motion activated, where it'll flash a quick picture, and you don't have to even be home for something like that to be working on your behalf, and then you just take the memory card out of that when you get home and take a look at all the pictures you have.
Exactly. And the same thing is available in video form and in night vision form, and that's what you're going to need with some of these little jerks. you know, because you have to actually be able to show something to the police, or they're not going to know what you are talking about, and so they won't know what they're talking about when they go to talk to the kids and the kids' parents. Very often the kids' parents aren't as bad as we would think. It's just that kids are getting influenced by all sorts of other stuff, and the parents, once they know what their kids are up to, will actually shut the kids down, and they'll keep them home. And in the cases where the parents just don't give a crap, and that unfortunately happens a lot, then the parents get on to the police radar, and the parents are going to start to be looked at more. So you can prevail in these things if you're able to spend a little time and, unfortunately, spend a little money on cameras and whatnot. I'm not endorsing any camera in particular, but they are out there, and they will work.
There's no official Neighbors from Hell camera line that's available yet.
Not yet.
They don't have the branding for that. Now, quickly, before we run out of time, we've got neighborsfromhell.com. That's mm-hmm. a website you have. There's also the book Neighbors from Hell, which is at Amazon. It's on Kindle. It's at the bookstore. And is there another website you have also?
I think that's the main one. Neighborsolutions.com is just another way to get there. And I think that might take you directly to the message board.
The message board, they can get there at neighborsfromhell.com also, or is that just the other one?
I think so. I think neighborsfromhell.com will take you to the message board. Neighborsolutions.com probably takes you directly there, although I'm not sure.
I see the link here at the bottom. It says see the new neighborsolutions.com, and when you click on that, it takes you to the message board. And really neat message board, lots of interesting things there. And you offer rewards to people for participating. You says they're Amazon gift cards and so forth for their participation in the message board. All right, very good. Bob Borzata, thank you so much for joining us.
The book
is available at bookstores everywhere. Is that right?
I think so. I think Barnes & Noble, last I checked, they're a little bit hesitant to have it because Amazon is its publisher. So that makes it a little bit difficult to get it on the bookshelves. But if you ask for it at Barnes & Noble or go to barnesandnoble.com, you'll certainly be able to find it. On the bookshelves at Barnes & Noble, it might be a little bit of a stretch, but certainly other bookstores have it.
Or you can grab it on Kindle, which is great as well for those who have a Kindle device. Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff.
Great information. Thank you. All right, we are out of time for this week. What a great show. I thought that was going to be an interesting interview, and it really turned out to be that. I wish we had more calls, though, from you guys with some stories. But we got one good caller and some great emails here as well. But check out the book, Neighbors from Hell. This is Jim Paris here, as always, to help you make the most of God's money. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.